Seattle's Morning News. As I'm sure we have all heard, the Trump administration wants to tighten up the rules on which immigrants get to stay in the country and which immigrants will have to go home, and it involves who uses welfare services. Let's consult with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Aristapoint Employee Benefit Consultants. Rob, what does the law say about this?
Well, the Immigration and Nationality Act, which has been around a long time, includes a provision that bars immigrants from gaining admission to the country or obtaining green cards if they are, quote, likely at any time to become a public charge. But it's not defined. What is a public charge? There are general categories like your age, health, your financial status, your assets. And back in 99, the Clinton administration, as reported in the Wall Street Journal, issued guidance defining a public charge as an individual likely to become, quote, primarily dependent on the government for subsistence, as demonstrated by either the receipt of public cash assistance for income maintenance or institutionalization for long-term care at government expense, close mm-hmm. quote. But they didn't count non-cash benefits like Medicaid and food stamps. And what the Trump administration wants to do now in this new rule is to incorporate non-cash benefits into the definition of public charge for determining which immigrants should be prevented from coming to live here, you know, living primarily on public mm-hmm. assistance.
Now, is this a radical departure? Because as I recall, back in the day, like in the 1800s, they sent you, you stood up in front of a doctor and they looked you in the teeth and they, you know, gave you the once over and decided if you were well enough and physically able to work. And if you weren't, they sent you back.
This can be characterized as a significant departure, maybe a radical departure, in that we have for a long time tried to exclude people who are going to come here and basically be dependent for their subsistence on government handouts. But this rule would apply to people applying for, you know, temporary assistance for families that have young children, you know, the Women and Infants Program. It would apply to, you know, other kinds of non-cash benefits as well, in addition to food stamps like Medicaid. And so it's a pretty dramatic departure because sometimes people need temporary help. And that doesn't necessarily indicate that they're going to be permanently reliant on the U.S. government or state government, which is what the rule was originally intended to prevent.
But I mean, I get complaints from time to time from listeners to say, hey, I know somebody who's born here, who's abusing the food stamp system or is, you know, cashing in their stamps or whatever. I can only imagine what the reaction would be if Congress tried to pass a law that essentially says, if you come here from another country, you can immediately file for some sort of public assistance.
Well, and to be clear, that, you know, people can't do that now. You know, it's not that you can immediately apply when you get here. That's not true. The question is, if you're here for a period of time, I think the rule is 5 years that you have to be here before you're eligible to apply. You know, is the fact that you have temporary hardship something that should be used against you by, you know, a bureaucrat who's deciding whether or not you get a green card? Like, it's tough. Drawing the line is always going to be difficult. What is the line between needing temporary help and being a permanent burden on the public dole? But again, Congress could come in and provide more guidance than they are now. I think that progressives and conservatives ought to be able to agree that no matter how they feel about a particular rule, if they don't like a rule promulgated by the executive branch, the remedy is in the legislative branch. I mean, I always say there's a reason that Congress has established an Article 1 of the Constitution. It is the most important branch of government, and it's the one closest to the people, or at least the one that's supposed to be closest to the people.
And since the people are pretty much in disagreement, so is Congress. It seems to have been rendered dysfunctional.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll say this also. I think that one of the unfortunate aspects of this public charge rule that they're trying to revise is that it creates the misimpression that immigrants are more likely to depend on government benefits. They're actually not. They're actually more likely than native-born Americans to work, and they're no more likely than native-born Americans to use public benefits. In fact, as the Wall Street Journal points out, the labor participation rate of Hispanic foreign-born high school graduates is about even with white native-born bachelor's degree recipients at 72-73%. And it's actually Hispanic foreign-born high school graduates are actually significantly more likely to be working than native-born whites with only a high school education, 72-54%. So, one thing I enjoyed about researching this issue is that for once, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal agree with each other that this new proposed rule is simply immigrant bashing and is not good public policy, because turns out, as has historically been true in our country, was true for your ancestors and mine too, who came to this country from Europe, that these immigrants are hardworking on average, and not only are not a drain in net terms, but are a real boon to our economy and to our society.
So maybe for the sake of the country's economy, we should just apply this to everybody.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would not be constitutional.
I thought I'd give it a try anyway. Rob McKenna, former state attorney general. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Dave.